All right, very good. Take your Bibles this morning. Invite you to turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. You can find your place there on your phone app or a Bible in front of you, or you can also always look up here to the front. So let me just say, I know some of you have been extremely fortunate and you have missed this flu bug going by. I would encourage you to please wash your hands before you eat lunch today. You got a lot of fellowship hopefully on those hands. Wash it all off. There's a lot of people who've been sick. I do appreciate Rick and Jody leading us today. Steve is out. He is one of these people who had the flu, and he called me and told me, he says, man, there is just no way. He said, I feel like I've been run over by a truck. I know of also some of my friends amongst us. They're not here today because they too feel like they've been run over by a truck. And so if you please pray for Steve and Janetta, they are both down. And it's tough when both of you go down. They're both down. And they certainly would appreciate your prayers. Mr. Dave is coming down with it. I talked to him. I said, Dave, how are you doing? He says, man, I feel just weak. And yet tomorrow, Dave's going to be a granddad. His daughter gets induced tomorrow. And so I'd ask you to please pray for Dave and certainly Kaylee and the arrival of their newborn. So with all that, today we're going to talk about an upcoming year. So in your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. A verse that you might be very familiar with. I chose to start it off today with this because there is something before you, something before me, that I believe God would have us to give some attention towards. As you were coming in, I would say to many of you, hey, Happy New Year. And you'd respond back in kind, hey, Happy New Year to you. It's going to be a good year. And so maybe this year you have a lot of optimism going forward. And I'm asking you, why do you think this year is going to be a good year? Why do you think this year is going to be worthy of optimism? And you just say, well, that's just my mentality. That's just my focus. I am just an upbeat person. I believe the best. I'm not one of these doom and gloom people. And I'd say to you, good for you. But the reality is that 2018, much of how it's going to be, not everything, but there are some things that's going to ride just upon you and your responses to what is going to happen. I don't know if you're one of these people who make New Year's resolutions. If you are, you join 90% of Americans. 90% of Americans this week will say, this is my New Year's resolution. It's always funny to listen to people's New Year's resolutions. They usually revolve around certain things, but most of the time, New Year's resolutions are very short-lived. 90% of Americans will make them this week, and they say by February, 70% will cease in that pursuit. Whatever they started saying, I promise, or I'm rededicating, or this is going to be the year, by February, they will see a sharp decline in their enthusiasm, in their mojo, and their commitment to what they promised the beginning of the year. You often find this in gyms, do you not, Drew? I mean, in you go to a local workout facility in January, like, whoo, man, this thing got really popular overnight. By February, it's like, where'd they all go? That's just how it works. And so I'm asking you, do you are one of these people who makes a New Year's resolution, and do you try to stick to it? One preacher I heard say it this way, that oftentimes our New Year's resolutions are simply last year's confessions. I think that's probably really true to the point, that our New Year's resolutions are simply our way of saying, you know what, I really failed in this last year. I'm going to do a better job in it this year. You know, last year I wasn't really good in this area. This year I want to be better in this area. You might be wondering, why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we yo-yo in the sense of we're committed now, it's a new year, new start, fresh start, I'm really going to do it this time, forget what's my pattern, forget what's been my past, this year I really mean it, only to be disappointed again? Why do we do that to ourselves? And you might be interested to find this out because you've been wired, follow this, you have been wired by God to change and to want to change. There's something with all of us, this God imprint upon our very souls that we want to change. And you need to know you have a mandate from heaven that you are to be growing, that you are to be changing, which makes me ask the question about my own life, and I want you to consider it for yours. So here we are, 2018. How are you different today than you were last year at this time? How is your spiritual life different today than it was this time a year ago? How is certain areas of your life, disciplines in your life, relationships in your life, how are they different today than they were a year ago? What could be said differently about your character today that you could not have said a year ago about your character? Has there been growth? Has there been any change? Or are you just existing? Are you just going through life? Or are you just going from one high to the next low to a lot of in-betweens? Are you really seeking to grow? Are you really seeking to be better than what you were? Are you seeking to become more of what God wants you to be? And I know that might seem like a redundant question. I know that might seem like, oh, that sounds like a real churchy question. But for many of you, you claim a relationship with Jesus. I know not all of you do, and I'm so glad that you're here, even if you don't yet. I'm glad that you have given yourself, and listen, God himself, the opportunity to make himself known to you by even being here today. But you need to know you are surrounded by a bunch of people that say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I have put my trust in Jesus, that what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago was the payment for my sin. And by trusting in that cross and resurrection 3 days later, I got this belief and I got this trust that my soul is saved. I am righteous before God. I'm going to heaven. You just need to know you got a lot of people around you that believe that. And I'm asking those that fall in that category, how is your life different today than it was a year ago at this time? And for many of you, if you were honest, you say, you know what, I don't know if it is. I really don't know if there's something I can point to or somebody else who knows me very well can point to and say, you know what, this is an area in my life that you've really grown in. Hey, this is an area in your life I've really seen some growth in. Hey, I've seen you and I've seen the gospel at work in your life in this particular area, and I'm inspired by that. And then the questions beg to ask, why is that rare? Why is that rare? Because when you read the scriptures, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it's a verse that many of you have quoted. It's a verse that we refer to oftentimes when we go through tough times. Because Romans 8, 28 is a very comforting verse. It says, for God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who've been called according to his purpose. Now, you might have heard that verse before. Again, extremely comforting. God causes all things. That means that the tragedy that might be in my life today, God is using that as an ingredient into a larger whole that he's working out in my life for good and for glory. And that's the confidence that we can have, no matter what we face, that God is going to use whatever cumulatively all together, because he's a good father and he's powerful enough to bring it to pass, that God is going to bring all things together for my good, for your good, for his glory. And the Bible says we have this confidence as those who've been called according to his purpose. But the problem is we usually stop in verse 28 and we do not read verse 29. Because verse 28, as true as that is, so is verse 29. And verse 29 says, for those he foreknew, he predestined. For those he foreknew, that means he knew you would come to pass. That means you're not an accident, which nobody is an accident. The Bible says he predestined you. And the Bible says he predestined you to do what? To be conformed, follow this, to be conformed into the likeness of his son. Let me just tell you, a lot of times people ask, I don't know what God's will for my life is. And you're talking about in this specific area, maybe in this specific relationship, maybe in this specific calling, maybe in what I should major in and such and such. I'm telling you, the will of God overall, arching for every single follower of Christ is this, that you be conformed to the image of his son. That you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday. That you look and grow in the likeness of Christ this year more than you did last year. And my question to you is, how are you going to make that happen? It's not going to be because you wish it to happen. It's not going to be because you just intend for it to happen. That's what you did last year, and here you are. That's what you did 2 years ago, and here you are. It's more than just intentions, and it's more than just a wish upon a wish. It has to be a pursuit. But the problem is, as we start a new year, oftentimes we have all of these pursuits, and we have so many different things we want to change. We aim at everything, and we hit nothing. And I'd like to give you some hope that this year you could do something different. Instead of aiming at everything and hitting nothing and quitting by February, what would happen? What would happen if you just went after one thing with all your heart and you made that not just the focus of your life, but that you made that the lens that you look through everything going on in your life 2018 as what God was bringing and working to bring to pass? Would that give you any more advantage this year than what you've been working on previous Januaries in your life. So if you would flip over in your Old Testament to the book of Psalms, you say, well, man, that's hard to find. Okay, here's an easy way to find it. If you'll just take your Bible, the very middle, just guess where the middle is and open up. You should open up 9 times out of 10 to the book of Psalms. Okay? It's a little game you can play with yourself. If the sermon gets long, you get bored with it, you know, play the Bible game. Okay? 9 times out of 10, that's what the preacher said, in the middle. Psalms chapter 27. Chapter 27. I'm going to read a verse to you. I'm going to use this as we land this plane and hopefully give you some hope and encouragement for your 2018. A friend of mine, Dr. David Youth, he's a pastor at the First Baptist Church in Orlando. I'd visited the church before I left Orlando, and since then I've actually gotten to be friends with David Youth. He serves with me on the IMB trustee board. And David does this thing every year, and it's not original to him. Many, many churches do this. You can look this up. Other churches seek to do this in January. But David was the one who introduced it to me. And what he does with his congregation is he challenges his congregation every year as they start the year to start the year in what area of growth they want to seek and to boil it down, follow this now, to one word. Not a sentence, because a sentence usually deals with behavior. A word, which usually deals with character. What is one word, if you can boil it all down into one word, that God would have you to pursue in the upcoming year? And so what I've learned from First Baptist Jacksonville is that is kind of part of their culture. And so throughout the year, they ask each other, hey, how's your word coming along? Hey, by the way, what was your word again? Hey, how's that coming along? Hey, can I pray for you about your word? And it's a way that they encourage each other. It's a way they honestly kind of keep each other accountable. It's a way that this idea of growth and maturity is always ever present in all of their interactions. Because again, it is the will of God, if you're a follower of Christ, to be conformed into the image of his son. And so you might have said in years past, well, I just want to be more like Jesus. Well, good luck with that. I mean, that's like huge, like general and generic. Okay, well, I want to be more like Jesus too, but like in what area do you want to be more like Jesus? If again, you aim for everything, you hit nothing. What would be an area? What would be a specific character trait that you seem and you would be, and maybe others around you would say, you're lacking, that you say, this year, I would really like to work on that? Again, not a behavior. I'm talking about a character trait. I'm not talking generally. I'm talking very specifically. And this goes against most of New Year's resolutions that you hear. Again, most New Year's resolutions, people say, well, this year I'm going to get in shape. I mean, how many people have said that in January? This year I want to get in shape. What does that mean? Does that mean you want to touch your toes for the first time in a decade? Or does that mean you want to run a marathon? What does it mean to get in shape? Right? So you got to be specific. Somebody says, well, I want to be a better person. Okay, then who? You want to be a better person than the person next to you? You want to be a better person than Jordan? You know, aim a higher, I would say. You know, pick a high bar. Who do you want to be a better person than? Your 2017 self? Okay, so we're talking specific here, and I'm talking even more specific that you boil it down to one pursuit. You say, man, is there like a biblical reference for this? Yeah, as a matter of fact, you might be surprised. There's a few of them I'll share with you in just a moment. The first one's found in Psalm 27, verse 4. The Bible says, here the psalmist is speaking, and he's saying, there's one thing that I ask from the Lord, this one thing I shall seek. He said, of all the things I can ask of God, of all the prayers I can pray, this is my highest, this is my greatest, of all my pursuits, there's none better than this just one, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now you think to yourself, what is he asking there? Like, he want to stay at church all day? Is he like, you know, one of these guys that doesn't care if the service goes longer than 12 o'clock? What is he talking about? Like, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Some of you would think that would be like, you know, this side of hell. But like, what did the psalmist mean when he said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? Let me tell you what it means. It means I want this connection with God to be so intimate and so close that my very being and existence rides on the fact that I'm connected to my Heavenly Father. That he is my daily bread, that he is the air I breathe. He is the sufficiency of my life, that I find in him all of my desires fulfilled. For a modern day Jew living in this time, it was connected to the house of the Lord. The temple, that's where God dwelt, in the Holy of Holies. The idea to be that close to God. The psalmist is saying, that's my greatest pursuit, that I would have that type of relationship, that type of communion. Because he says, when I have that type of communion, I see the beauty of God and I meditate. My mind is filled with the thoughts of God. And that is my one pursuit. So if the psalmist were listening to this sermon today, the psalmist, maybe his one word would be for 2018, my one word for 2018 would be closeness. Surmise all of Psalm 27:4, closeness. Jesus spoke about pursuing one thing. Now again, a familiar verse some of you have memorized. Certainly many of you have heard. Some of you today for the first time. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. If that would be the verse maybe God personalizes to your heart today, or maybe this week, maybe your one word for this upcoming year would be kingdom. Kingdom. Meaning you may have been all about building your kingdom, but kingdom is a reminder that you're not a king and you don't have a kingdom. You're a child and you have a king as a father, and it ought to be about him. Kingdom becomes the lens that you see all of 2008 through and becomes the pursuit of your heart and your life's goals. I'd like you to ask yourself the question, God, what would you like my one word to be? Last week, if you were here, you heard the story of Martha and Mary. And again, Martha, she was confused and she was distracted, Jesus said, by many things. And again, most of us can relate to Martha. And yet, very few of us can relate to Mary. But there's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said this. He said, Martha, Martha, you're concerned about many things. But Mary has chosen the good one. And this one thing shall not be taken from her. See, life becomes very purposeful when you can define it and your goals, they can be specific. And so this morning and throughout this week, I'd like you to think and I'd like you to ask your Heavenly Father, God, I want to grow. I want to be more like Christ. I'm far from it. What is the one word that you would have for me to pursue and to be defined by in the year 2018. Now that might be scary for some of you, because if God speaks to you and he shows, and listen, highlights this is your word, then that means he's really got something in store for you in that particular area. So I'll close and I'll make it very personal. So I would never ask you to do something I'm not willing to do. And so I've been, as few weeks prior, I've been asking, okay, God, it's 2018. What's supposed to be my word? I'm going to challenge the whole church with this. I'm challenging my kids. I've asked Noah, Emma, I said, hey, I want you to think about this. What's going to be your one word? I've been thinking about mine. I've been praying about it. And I feel like the best I know that God has laid upon my heart. One word. This is it. And it might surprise you. It's the word release. Release. I don't know if you can identify with this. I don't know if you struggle with this. But do you ever find yourself taking on more than what you should? Anybody? Anybody breathing human right now? Okay, you bet. Okay. But see, I take it even further than that. I had this challenge in my life that I want to be in control. Probably way too much. Anybody else have any control issues? Nobody else? So listen, you may not be able to relate to me. Thanks for coming to this intervention. but I find myself wanting to be in control and take control. And listen, all with the best of intentions, the best of heart. But because of that posture taking so often, I find myself stressed a lot. Because when you try to live like king, when you were never intended to be king, that's a tough address to live from. So I felt like the Lord said, Matt, I'd like you to trust me more this year. I'd like you, instead of carrying those things upon your shoulders, I'd like you to cast those upon me. And so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 is my verse. for this particular word, and it says, cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So that's going to be my 2018 verse. I'm going to cast all my cares upon the Lord. Now listen, by even saying that, and listen, admitting this to hundreds of people and whoever might be watching this on Facebook this week, do you know, like, the invitation I'm inviting into my life to be challenged to not do that, right? But I'm saying this for an encouragement to myself right now, encouragement to you to put it personalized, to give you an example, but also accountability. Man, I want to live free, man. I want to live what we sing. I want to live knowing Jesus is the chain breaker. I want to live more and more free because that is my identity and birthright in Jesus. And I will never do that by living as though all is resting upon my shoulders. I've got to give that over to the Lord. So that's my word for the year. Release. I'm asking you, what's your word going to be? You say, Matt, can this really happen? Can people really change? Because we're told, maybe there's just cynics in my life, but I've been told a leper can't change his spots. A guy can't change his stars. Can you really change? Well, absolutely you can. Because the commandment in the scriptures to change should give you the confidence that the God who commands you to do it is also the God who will enable you to do it. It's the God who will empower you to do it. His commandment indirectly verifies the fact it can be done. Because a good father wouldn't ask you to do something knowing that it would be impossible for you to do. So him telling you, hey, this is what you ought to do. This is how you ought to live. You should grow to become more like my son Jesus. The very commandment implies the potential within you, the Christ in you, to bring it to pass. So I'll land this by saying, and I was in my early 20s, and it was January, and I was greatly convicted about something in my life, and I wanted this to change in my life. And so I sat out that January asking God for help in this one specific area. You say, this ought to be good. Tell me what it was. It's going to shock you. Here it goes. I asked the Lord for the gift of tears. You say, what? That sounds weak. Are you kidding me? Tears. Yeah. Tears. See, I had a mentor, Johnny Hunt, and he would preach this sermon to his church, and at least once a year, he would refer back to this passage in Psalm 126. And it talks about those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And the next verse, in verse 6, it talks about, for he who goes forth weeping, sowing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, carrying his sheaves. And it's in the context of winning people to Jesus. It's in the context of a harvest. And listen, the passion of my life then is the passion of my life today. I just want to win people to Jesus. I want to take more people to heaven with me as possible. I want my one life to count for the purpose of taking people to heaven. And so through Psalm 126 and the preaching of Johnny Hunt, it was just laid upon my heart that, Matt, you don't weep. You don't cry. I mean, you feel, and certainly I did, and I would be excited or I would be burdened, but it wasn't like I would cry. And I really thought there was something wrong with me. I'd see other people like cry. I would see other people be vulnerable enough, and I just couldn't do it. And it wasn't a pride thing. I just didn't think the tear ducts worked. I mean, I just couldn't cry. And so I just remember after hearing one of those messages again, I remember saying, Lord, If my tears can be the liquid fertilizer to these prayers that people in my life will come to know Jesus, give me the gift of tears. And so here's what I did. This is like crazy, and don't think I'm all that spiritual because I've never done it since. I decided I was so serious about it. Again, we're talking about tears now. I was so serious about tears. I said, I will, God, until I can't do it anymore, you give me release, I will not eat for however many Mondays you would have for me to fast for this entire year. And so, listen, every Monday I did not eat. I fasted, just water, so that God, in that year, would do something inside of me to help me to learn the gift of tears. Jesus was a man of sorrows. I want to be like him. Then I ought to be one who's able to cry, to be touched with the infirmities of others, and to be moved as my Heavenly Father was moved. And as he wept, then I think, you know what, to be like him, that was something I needed to learn how to do. and I needed God's help to do it. You say, well, did it work? Let me just tell you, many a Sunday nights I cried, thinking about not eating the next day. Many Sunday nights I shed a tear. That's where it started. But I tell you what, if you know me today, some of you kind of make fun of me today. I'm 43 years old. I can cry the drop of a hat. And I don't even have to know you. I do funerals. I did one this past week. And it's always the same. At the end of the sermon, at the end of the funeral, I always come and I always, this is just how it is done in Missouri. Not in South Carolina, but in Missouri, they make the preacher stand right next to the casket. And everybody walks by the casket, giving their last regards, and they walk off. And for whatever reason, they want the preacher standing right there to witness it all. There are some funerals I do that I don't even know the people. And they just ask, can you do a funeral for my loved one? And listen, the part where either the wife, the husband, the daughter, the son, where they come up and they're the last ones and they're giving their last goodbyes. I don't even have to know you. Tears are streaming. Can I tell you, it's not because I've been wired that way. I'm telling you, that is a prayer that God answered as like a 23-year-old kid praying that, fasting every Monday, that I would be able to be so in touch with other people's emotions, I could feel what they feel and be moved as my Heavenly Father's moved. So man, certain commercials, I'm just done. I'm done. Sporting events, there are certain things that happen and you put the right music in the background, I am done. Again, my friends, they roll their eyes and they're like, are you really doing this? Are you really crying? Listen, you just need to know that's an answer to prayer. That's growth in my life to feel on a very deep level. And honestly, it's one of the ways that makes me a good pastor to you. I really feel what you feel. And honestly, because I feel it so much, it's one of the reasons why my word this year needs to be release, because I carry so much of what you carry. As though I'm helping you. I'm not helping you carry that. I need to give that to the Lord just as I'm telling you that you need to give that to the Lord. So Matt, why you say all that to us? I just want to give you hope. And there's a God who wants to work on your behalf. And there's a God, if you know Jesus, who's inside of you, who is working on your behalf beyond what you might even know. And whatever you decide, whatever you're persuaded that God wants your one word to be, I'm just telling you, he will hear those prayers. He will work on your behalf. In 2018, you can look back, maybe, and point in this specific area, I truly did. I grew. I matured. In this area, it's a little bit more like Christ, because that became my focus. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every one of my friends, every one of our guests who I have not had a chance to meet. And I pray that this morning, for some, you've already given them their word. For some, that's just the way that you've chosen to work. For some, they will leave here knowing what their one word's going to be. Others, they're going to have to think about it for a few days. They're going to have to think about it this week, and they're going to have to pray about it, because maybe there's a lot of words that come to their mind, but there's one word that I'm asking you to give them that will define their journey, define their growth, and be the address maybe that you do some miracles from. I pray that people's faith would grow. And I pray that even in our conversations throughout the year, that it would be a friendly encouragement and accountability, a checkup. How's it coming along? How are you doing with that? Can I pray for you about that? So, Father, thank you that you are a good Father and you're able to take all of this, hear them, treat us individually, and move on our behalf. If you're here this morning and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, then I'd invite you to consider where you stand with God. And maybe up to this point you've been okay with where you are. But I'm just telling you, life is short and eternity's long. And it's so long, I promise you, you don't want to be wrong. You don't want to roll the dice with your soul. and you don't want to miss out on a friendship with God in this life. So if today you'd be willing to put your trust, your faith in Jesus, not just on Jesus, not just, hey, I believe this guy lived 2,000 years ago. Yeah, I believe the historical Jesus. I'm talking about the living Christ, the one who was crucified and 3 days later rose from the dead, that you would put your faith in him and today receive his life for your own. The Bible says if you'd be willing to come to that point and you would call upon the Lord in a prayer of faith, in belief, asking him to forgive you of your sins and to become your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you will be saved today. And you can do that right now. So just ask him. And if you mean it in your heart, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God, you will be saved. From sin, you will be saved. From self, you'll be saved from damnation. And you will be entering into a friendship with God that has no end. If you just prayed that, welcome to the family. Welcome to a friendship with God. Welcome to a relationship with Christ that has no end. And what God just started in you, you have the promise that he will complete, that he will bring it to pass, that you are in his hands now, and nothing will ever snatch you out of the hand of God. That's huge, and that's certainly not something you'd keep for yourself. So as you leave, as other people find their way through the cold rain, I'm asking you, would you just stick around? I won't take long of your time, but I would like to know that today was your day. Would you just tap me on the shoulder, say, hey, preacher, today I prayed that prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. I'd love to be able to be the first one to encourage you in the most life-changing decision that you will ever make. Maybe before you leave today, you might find somebody and say, hey, I just want to tell somebody this is my word. You're my person I'm choosing. This is my word. And ask somebody simply to pray for you for the upcoming year with your one word. So, Father, thanks so much for this morning. Thanks for the good things that you have in store for us in the year 2018. There will be highs, there will be lows. There certainly will be challenges. And there will be opportunities upon opportunities for growth and change to become more like Christ. Lord, may today and the decisions we make from today, the one word that we choose today, may it truly give us focus. And may we end this year looking back upon it and saying, in this area, I've seen God answer my prayers. Lord, we ask all this and we pray it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.